the origin of confusion, I would say, it stretches way back to Genesis 3.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion.
Satan tried to inject falsehood into the true word that God had spoken. But in that little statement, did God actually say this? Suddenly we see this swirl of confusion coming into our world.
Learn more about Clearly Christian at issuesetc.org. Hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. A little bit of Advent, pre-Advent, but not too much in advance of Advent, as the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. Now, the theme there would seem pretty obvious, and this is one of those Sundays that, like Christmas, like Easter, even though it's much smaller on the calendar, brings it all together in a very clear and concise way, pointing us to what the Apostle calls our blessed hope, the blessed assurance of Christ's return, even as we sing in that hymn. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., live on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary. Dr. Carl Fakencher will be our guest in the first hour of the program. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger joins us from the White Horse Inn in the second hour. We'll spend the better part of that hour talking with him about a brief history of heresies, especially with regard to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Then, there's a new tolerance on campus. We've seen it on display at the University of Missouri. In Columbia, Missouri, we've seen it on display at Yale University and countless universities across the nation. Is it really diversity for everybody? Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez will be joining us. He's had a recent run-in with the diversity police, where he serves at Cal State Northridge in Los Angeles, and he's written about it in The Federalist titled, Racism Isn't the Problem on Campus, Gender Insanity Is. He's in the last 15 minutes of Issues, Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to look forward to Sunday morning, to the last Sunday of the church year that anticipates the first of the next year, Dr. Carl Fakencher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
It is the last Sunday of the church year, so the theme is pretty obvious. It's kind of shouted the entire and in every element of this coming Sunday morning, beginning with the first two things that we meet by way of propers, the intro at the entrance psalm, and that little prayer called the Collect. Where do we find the theme in these two, first off?
Well, of course, you're right again, Todd, as you always are. The last Sunday of the church year, it would be very difficult not to anticipate that it's going to be talking about the end of the world, and it certainly does. The intro and collect, though, I think give us an interesting way of getting at this issue, because it's not just scatter shooting with all kinds of various information about the end times. That would be more than any one Sunday could possibly begin to address. But there are a couple of clues in here, I think, that will focus our attention at least, and I think will help our hearers as they hear the propers this coming Sunday. Let me read the introit and the collect both straight through together, and then I'll pick up a question out of the introit and see how the collect maybe will start to direct our answer. Our introit for this coming Sunday comes to us from Psalm 39, and the antiphon is a very clear passage from 2 Peter chapter 3 that certainly begins the focus for the day. It goes like this. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears. That's, of course, a magnificent prayer already from the psalmist. But then we look at the collect, which is a formal traditional prayer of the church for this last Sunday, and here it is. Lord Jesus Christ, so govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that, ever mindful of your glorious return, we may persevere in both faith and holiness of living. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And by the way, if ever there was a Sunday where that closing of the collect is especially apropos, this is it. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The last Sunday of the church year, we're certainly looking beyond the now to the forever, but already the now is so very important to us. If we look back at the intro, the psalmist from Psalm 39 asks this question. He says, "And now, O Lord, for what do I wait?" Now, that's an open-ended question that has a lot of possible answers, and certainly on this last Sunday of the church year, that is an important question for us to address, isn't it? We know we're looking for the end of the world, Christ's return at the end of time, and so the question, just what's that all about? What are we waiting for when we look forward to the end of time? That's a very, very important question. And actually, that's what I'm going to present as my theme this day. What are we waiting for? From those words of the introit. The collect, I think, gives us a couple of perspectives on how we might answer that or address that issue. What are we waiting for? And again, the collect to the Lord Jesus asks that he would govern our hearts and minds, that ever mindful of his glorious return, we certainly know that's what we're looking forward to in the big way, we may persevere in both faith and holiness of living. I think here we have an awful lot to work with throughout the propers today. If we make our theme this, what are we waiting for? That, of course, can simply be the open-ended question that the psalmist has in mind. What are we waiting for? That's a tremendously important question. We anticipate, as the collect also says, your glorious return, Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to Christ coming back at the end of time. But what exactly is going to be involved there? What are we waiting for when we wait for Christ's return at the end of the world? The answer is going to be multifaceted, and we'll look at a lot of aspects of that through the propers today. But the big thing to grasp here is that when we look ahead to what's coming, we look in faith. We look in faith at what God says he is going to do. It's a matter not of looking in fear, looking in anxiety, but rather looking in faith, trusting that what God promises, he will deliver, and seeing that what God promises is wonderful for us. And that takes us back to the collect again. Looking ahead to the glorious return of Christ, we ask that we may persevere in both faith. First of all, in faith. So asking the question, what are we waiting for? We're asking about what we can trust God is actually going to give us. It's a real question. What are we waiting for? But you know, when we say, what are we waiting for, that can also be rhetorical. We can state that also as something which really isn't so much a question at all, but an expression that says, hey, there's a lot to go on and not much time to do it in. You know, what are we waiting for? We've got to get moving. Or what are we waiting for? There's not much time to lose. And I think that's also very relevant to the propers today. We have an awful lot coming up, but in the meantime, there's a lot to do, and there certainly isn't much time to do it. At least that's the way the propers will indicate to us, that it's necessary to be ready at any time for Christ's return. And that's the other element that the collect mentions. Once more, Lord Jesus Christ, so govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that, ever mindful of your glorious return, we know that's coming, we may persevere in both faith, that is, trusting that whatever it is you're going to send is going to be good for us, and holiness of living. And when we make that statement rhetorically, what are we waiting for? It really is a call to holiness of living every day right now. Christ is coming back. We've heard that promise. We're going to talk more about that. That's the what question. What really are we waiting for? But when we realize that Christ is coming back and we hear the words of Scripture that it could be very, very soon, then it tells us, hey, what are we waiting for? Let's get moving on those things that God does have us to do while we wait. So I think we've got a theme we can work with here that will take us through both of those aspects that the collect develops for us. Faith in what God is going to send, we'll find out what that is, and then holiness of living while we wait. If I may just go back then, Todd, to the beginning of the intro, we start to answer that open question, what is it really that we're waiting for? And the psalmist and Peter in the antiphon give us some very nice answers here in the introit. Again, the antiphon begins this way: we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. What are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. We've got a heaven and an earth right now. We're talking about the heavens and the terra firma that we're living on here, this earth that is a part of us right now and seems just so vital to what we as human beings are. But of course, we know that our world and all that is a part of the universe has been so thoroughly corrupted by our sin that we would really love to have something that's better, at least if we realize the condition we're really living in. When we realize that all of the things we see around us, whether it be illness or death or unemployment or attacks by ISIS or you name it, all the problems we see mounting in our world day after day after day, seemingly getting worse, are effect of the unrighteousness of our sin. So what are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for God to deliver us from this veil of tears, from this place where things are so corrupted, into a new place, a new heaven, a new earth, that is nothing but his perfect righteousness. And then the psalmist from Psalm 39 says this: O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Now there, the psalmist is reminding us that our time on earth, although it may seem literally like a lifetime to each one of us, is in the big picture of the history of the world and of eternity beyond Christ's return, nothing but a few moments. Which is to say, you know, what are we waiting for? The time is short. We can't stall around, waste our time here, what time God gives us. It's but a handbreadth. It's just a measure of a few days. It's how very, very fleeting it is. And so, the intro, it already has us looking at both aspects of this issue that the collect has clarified for us. What are we waiting for? Something magnificent God is giving us. And in the meantime, there's not much time. So let's be about our business. What are we waiting for but to be about the business that God has for us in the meantime?
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 18th. We're looking forward to Sunday morning according to the 3-year lectionary. Now we have the theme laid out there in those first two propers that we meet this coming Sunday, the intro and the collect. We'll move on to the next one, the Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 51. What are some of the most misunderstood and confused aspects of Christianity, and how can we respond? Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion, is the Issues Etc. book of the month for November. Clearly Christian is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Clearly Christian.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you in the market for a home, car, or student loan? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During November, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Christian Friends of New Americans. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church, LutheranFCU.org.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards, emmanuelpress.us.
Looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 18th. That's a stanza from the hymn of the day that's coming up. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. We've got the theme in place here already in the intro and the collect that brings us to the Old Testament reading, which is from Isaiah 51. What do we find there, Dr. Fakencher?
Isaiah 51, verses 4 through 6. Let me read it, and we'll see how both elements of our theme, I think, are present. What are we waiting for? Well, first of all, we'll find out what it is, and then we'll find out about how holy living is a part of it in the meantime. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. We see once again the obvious description of the end times, that the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. There's no question that the day, the last Sunday of the church year, is looking at the return of Christ, and the end times are very, very much in focus. And in the meantime, we have also an encouragement to us. First of all, to have faith, to believe that what's coming up, that what God is giving us, is going to be good for us. And this is wonderfully expressed here. Isaiah says, he's quoting the Lord now, I will set my justice for a light to the peoples, my righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out. And we talked in the first segment a moment ago about how really very corrupt our world is. And we do see that in so many ways, corrupted by sin that results in illness, that results in death. It also, yes, results in terrorism. It results in crime here in our country. It results in prejudice, injustice, and all kinds of effects that make this world in many ways a very distressing place to live. So when God says, I will set my justice for light to the peoples, my righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, he's saying that he's going to set right all these things that are wrong. Justice is something that God's people long for. We want God to exercise his justice, to make things right, to set things straight. But of course, we also realize that we're part of the problem. We're guilty of sin. We're part of the injustice. We're part of the wickedness that has corrupted our world, both by our own real and active contributions to that, or failures to stop those things, but also by original sin, in which we all participate. Your sin, my sin, Adam and Eve's sin, all of these things are the things that cause all other things to go badly, even sins where we can't see a direct and obvious connection in our contribution. So when we talk about wanting God's justice, we want his righteousness to come and set things straight, we got to swallow hard, because his righteousness would destroy us unless he also said, my salvation has gone out. To be saved from the justice, the righteous punishment that is coming. This, of course, is exactly what Isaiah knew the Messiah was going to do. And a couple of chapters later in Isaiah chapter 53, he describes so vividly the way Christ would go to the cross, the way the Messiah would suffer, the way he would bear our sins and carry our sorrows, the way he would be smitten for our afflictions, the way he would suffer all the things that we deserve vicariously in our place, so that when the Lord does come back and exercises his righteousness at the end of the world, when Christ comes and vindicates what is right and casts out everything that is wrong, we will be delivered from our part in what is very, very wrong. We will be saved. Salvation has gone out, saved from what we really deserve. The idea of waiting again is here. The Lord says, my arms will judge the peoples, the coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Again, hoping for God's power, his arm, to set things right, but we're waiting for that, realizing that he has also delivered us from this. He says, but my salvation, when the heavens vanish like smoke, when the earth wears out like a garment, my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is what we're waiting for. What are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for the Lord to come back and set everything right, but to deliver us from our contribution to what's wrong because of what Jesus did in taking everything that's wrong upon himself. Again, that's the first part of our theme. That's what we're waiting for. But also, what are we waiting for? Well, that's the call for each one of us to be about that holiness of living that the Collect also spoke about. And that's here, too, in Isaiah 51. The first verse, really, verse 4, the Lord says, give attention to me, my peoples, and give ear to me, my nation. Here, the Lord is calling upon us to trust in what he has coming and to live that out in the meantime. When we realize that God's justice is coming, that there will be a vindication of what's right, a punishment of what is wrong, and we realize that we have been delivered from our contribution to what's wrong by what Christ did on the cross, that then does not send us out doing more evil. Do we sin all the more so that grace may abound? Well, Paul says, certainly not, absolutely not. When we realize that we have been delivered from all evil, of which we are very guilty ourselves, then, yes, we certainly want to give attention to the Lord, give ear to the Lord, to what he would have us do. And that is to live in justice, to live in righteousness, to live in, as the Collect says, holiness, to share God's love with those people who are suffering under the injustices, the unrighteousness of this world. This is a powerful call to each of us who are in Christ Jesus, who are delivered from our sins, to be an active part of God's kingdom being exercised in this world. And yes, we've seen plenty of examples of need for that up and down.
The psalm for this coming Sunday, what is it, and does it fit into this theme too?
It does indeed, and again, both aspects really. Psalm 93, it's a brief psalm, just five verses, and here it is. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Here, again, we see a picture of the Lord coming back, Christ coming back as the King of all. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. When we picture, as the scriptures do, Christ's return, which will be also included in our gospel reading coming up in a moment and in other passages of scripture, we definitely picture the Lord coming back in glory, sitting on his throne as the judge of all, as the monarch of all. It's very well pictured, in fact, in our hymn of the day this coming Sunday. The Lord reigns robed in majesty. At this time, we can't see Christ before us, and when Christ was living here on earth, people saw him not at all robed in majesty. They saw him walking about humbly, not looking very majestic at all. They saw him at his very worst, as far as our eyes would see, that is, being crucified, being humiliated on the cross in what appeared to be the greatest weakness. But of course, when Christ returns, all of those signs of weakness will be gone. Then Christ will return in a way that people see his mighty power, his throne on which he sits, the majesty in which he is robed. So that's certainly something that we're waiting for, seeing Christ return in this way. By the way, there is an irony that's worth noting here in the psalm in verse 1 when the psalmist says, yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. That seems like a contradiction to everything we're talking about this particular Sunday. The world is established, never moved. Well, we're looking forward to new heaven and new earth, Peter says. And if we look back at a little more of the context from which our antiphon came earlier from 2 Peter chapter 3, we'd see Peter talk about all the things that we see this heaven, this earth in the present time being burned up, melting away, being gone. But the psalmist here is talking about how the world, the new world, the new heaven and earth is established. It shall never be moved because he says, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. So the new heaven, the new earth, what we're looking forward to, what we're waiting for, is going to be permanent. That will never be shaken again. There's also the other aspect of the theme in the last verse of the psalm. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house. Remember we said from the collect that holiness of living is this second aspect of our theme. What are we waiting for? But to live in holiness in the brief time that God gives us. Here the psalmist says, holiness befits your house. And I love the way that's described, because that's really saying that when we have been redeemed by Christ, by his death on the cross, and we realize that we're looking forward to this new heaven and earth, which will be so magnificent for us, that we will be delivered from our sins and delivered to that beautiful eternity with Christ, then what fits in that kind of mode? What befits that sort of good news? Well, it's so very fitting for us then to live out our lives in holiness, obediently to God's commands, loving God and loving our neighbor, including those who are particularly affected by the tumult, the troubles of this world. It's just fitting. It's a beautiful description of what is to be. This befits the Lord's house. When we know that we have such a beautiful eternity before us, we can even picture those many mansions in heaven that we anticipate, then what fits in that kind of house is this holiness of living that is loving God and loving neighbor.
When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the epistle reading for this coming Sunday and to the gospel reading that kind of drives the entire theme forward for the last Sunday of the church year. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
cool thing about the love of Jesus that he's inviting you into and to grow into is that it is the strongest force in this world.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Hatred can't crush it. Violence can't end it. I'm telling you, there is nothing that can conquer this love that he wants to plant inside of you.
Making the Case for Godliness by Pastor Will Whedon. We'll send you a recording of almost 20 hours of teachings from both of our Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Learn more and order at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. An audio DVD or thumb drive of the 2018 Making the Case conferences.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at RedeemerNashville.org.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Stanza 3 of the Hymn of the Day for this coming Sunday. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the 3-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. Now, folks, I know that you enjoy our Bible studies and our weekly interviews with Dr. Carl Fakencher, so be sure to join us for Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast from 9 in the morning Central this Friday, November the 20th, through Saturday, November the 21st. We'll be studying the Gospel of John this year, all through those 24 hours of Issues Etc. 24. You can listen live at issuesetc.org or on the new Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. You can also contribute to Issues Etc. 24 by leaving your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What Does This Mean? Before Friday. The phone number for the comment line, 618-223-8382. You can leave your answer any time of day or night before Friday. Issues Etc. What Does This Mean? Everyone who leaves a recording will receive the new Christmas Arch book, O Bethlehem. And the listener with the best comment will receive a limited edition Here I Stand long sleeve t-shirt. Issues Etc. What Does This Mean? Leave your answer at 618-223-8382 before Friday. Dr. Verkentcher, we come now to, if I'm not mistaken, the epistle reading, which is a rare peek into a very short New Testament book, and we only get a couple verses here, the book of Jude.
Yes, Jude is a very short book, just one chapter, just 25 verses, but it has a magnificent eschatological or end times ramifications all the way through. For example, in the verse right before our epistle lesson begins, it mentions that in the last time there will be scoffers. So Jude is looking ahead to this, the end of the world all the way through, and of course eventually that comes to an end when Christ returns. And here's what he writes for us. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting, there's that waiting again, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. We have both of those aspects of our theme again. First of all, we see what we're looking forward to, what we're waiting for when we are waiting for the end of times. And that is what Jude says in verse 21. We are waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. When Christ comes back, it's going to be in mercy and grace and forgiveness and glory to those who believe in Christ Jesus. It's not something we fear, not something we're afraid of, because Christ has prepared us. He has earned for us the mercy of God, the forgiveness of our sins, and his care. That's what we're waiting for. And in the meantime, what are we waiting for? Let us, as Jude says, build ourselves up in the holy faith. Let us pray constantly. And let's have mercy on those who doubt. There are so many people in this world who do not know what is coming up, have no idea what we're waiting for, and are tragically unprepared. Our time is short, but we have the opportunity to show mercy to them by extending to them the same message of Jesus Christ that has saved us. And Jude says this in such a magnificent way in verse 23. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Here we see that emphasis on urgency. What are we waiting for? I mean, the time is short. Snatching people out of the fire. There really is the sobering reality that those who come to that last day, Christ's return, whenever it is, not knowing Jesus Christ as the Savior, will be condemned to eternal fire, to eternal hell. And we don't want that for anyone. God certainly wants that for no one. And he enables us to save people from that by sharing with them the message of Christ Jesus. It's a magnificent message here of urgency for this time that is very shortly before us and that which is coming up afterward.
That brings us to the gospel reading, Mark 13, where Jesus kind of gives us a montage, if you will, of his end times thoughts.
Yeah. Mark chapter 13, as always, the gospel reading sets the tone for everything, and this is the case once again. Here we have a description of what's coming, what we're waiting for at the end of the world. I'll take little pieces at a time with the gospel reading this trip through. Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 24, Jesus says, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. When we ask ourselves the question, what are we waiting for? Here is a very vivid and literal description of what we're waiting for. At the end of the world, the things of the cosmos will come crashing down. Sun darkened, moon not giving its light, stars falling from the heavens. And we take that seriously. That's not just a figurative thing. Even things that seem as permanent as the stars were created by God in those days of creation, and they're only here as long as this heaven and this earth is in operation. When the day comes that God calls an end to all this which has been corrupted by sin, yes, the very stars will also meet their end. So the cosmos, all the things that we see in the sky that we can study in the night, that we dream of visiting and we study so carefully, those things will all come undone. And then the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come in clouds with great power and glory. That's all those pictures that we see here and elsewhere in Scripture of Christ coming as king, as judge, being seated on his throne, and then the angels will gather his elect from the four winds. All the people of the earth, everyone will be gathered before the throne, believers and unbelievers, those who are alive at that time, coming from wherever on planet Earth they've been living, those who have been dead and in their graves for perhaps thousands of years, raised again, bodies and souls back together, reunited, standing before the Lord. And when all of those people, everyone who has ever lived, stands before Christ, then he will gather his elect, that is, those who have believed in Christ, those who have been given by God's grace the gift of faith, will be gathered together from all over, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And of course, when we're identified as the elect, it means that we are the ones chosen. We are the chosen ones of God, the ones that he has given to know the salvation that Christ Jesus earned on the cross for all people. This is what we're waiting for. This is what we're looking forward to. When the intro it said from the very beginning, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, here's where all of that begins. And of course, from there, it goes on forever, for all eternity. Perhaps, Todd, we could come back and look at the gospel lessons more after a break.
Let's do that. Dr. Carl Fikancher is our guest. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 18th. 10 more minutes with him. Looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, some more thoughts on the gospel. Then we'll go to the verse and that hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Then in hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn will join us. He's co-host of the White Horse Inn, and he's authored an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled False Jesuses. We'll talk about a brief history of heresies. Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez will join us in the last few minutes to talk about his experience with the new tolerance on campus. He's authored a recent column for The Federalist titled Racism Isn't the Problem on Campus, Gender Insanity Is. We'll be right back.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Expert guests. Expansive topics. Extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
With religion in America continuing its historic decline over yet another year, many may wonder, How Fares the LCMS? This November, the Lutheran Witness is once again shedding light on the state of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find the latest on global mercy work, missions, membership statistics, schools, and more in this special edition. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the world through a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Final stanza of the hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. We're looking forward to this coming Sunday morning, the last Sunday of the church year. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. Dr. Fakencher, we still have a lot to say, really, about this gospel reading in Mark chapter 13. Where would you pick up?
We do. We talked about verses 24 to 27 before the break, and that focused on what we're looking forward to, what we're waiting for. And then verses 28 to 37, the rest of it, really pick up the other half of our theme. What are we waiting for? Time is short. And here's where that comes in. From the fig tree, Jesus says in verse 28, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Here again, we have a very short time for the holiness of living. That is the other part of our theme. What are we waiting for when time is so short? Jesus reminds us of this in a couple ways. First, he gives us that illustration of the fig tree. He says, you know, when you see those branches becoming tender, the leaves coming out in the springtime, you know it's about to be summer. It's very near. And Jesus says the signs of the end indicate the very same thing about his coming back. He says, when you see these things taking place, here he's referring back to what we saw in last week's gospel lesson, those famous signs of the end, the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the famines, all of those things going on. When you see those things happening, you know that the coming of Jesus at the end of the world is near. He says, at the very gates, truly, I say, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. People are often looking in our 21st century for these things to be fulfilled. But the truth is, they were fulfilled in the first century, way back when Jesus was still on earth and when the disciples then began their mission work in the first century. There were wars, There were rumors of wars, there were earthquakes, there were famines, there was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, already in that first century. Jesus wasn't telling people that somewhere down the line, you ought to start getting ready, because one by one, you're going to see those signs of the end being fulfilled. What he's really saying is, look around you. You see the leaves coming out. It's practically summer. Look around you. You see the wars. You see the rumors of wars. You see the earthquakes. You see the famines. You see all of these things happening all around you. Well, you have been for 2,000 years. That is to say, the time is near right now. People might say, well, it's gone 2,000 years and nothing is different. Peter even cites that in the very same epistle that gave us our antiphon to the intro earlier on. But of course, Peter also goes on to say, you're forgetting that with the Lord, 1,000 years is like a moment, like a day. And of course, God sees things in the big perspective. Someday, we will also be able to see the big perspective. When we're with Christ in heaven, we'll realize that the things that happened here on earth were but the blink of an eye. So the time is short. What are we waiting for? The time for holy living is right now. Be on guard, Jesus says. Keep awake. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work. Everyone right now has a calling, a vocation to holy living that God has prepared for us. For some, it might be a pastor. For some, it might be a deaconess. And we invite people who are considering that to find out about those possibilities at our seminary. But for everyone, a father, a mother, a child, an employee, a citizen, in all of those capacities, a neighbor, someone living next door, in all of those, we have opportunities for holy living that are opportunities to, as the epistle said from Jude, to snatch people from the disaster that waits at the last moment if a person faces Christ unprepared. We all have that opportunity for holy living now, and let us never go to sleep on the job. It's no coincidence at all that here at the end of Mark chapter 13, Jesus is alerting the disciples to something that is going to come to them very, very soon. He says, stay awake. You do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight, or listen to this one, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. It'll be the very next chapter, Mark chapter 14, when Jesus alerts the disciples to the fact that they are going to desert him. In fact, Peter will deny him three times before the rooster crows. And sure enough, in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the time of Jesus' most intense testing, when he asks the disciples to watch and pray with him, to stay awake with him, sure enough, he comes back and finds them sleeping. It's a picture of what will be the reality for many, many people here on earth when Christ returns. They'll be awake, literally. They'll be going about their business, marrying, given in marriage. They'll be going about their jobs. They'll be working at the millstone or whatever the employment of that era would be. And yet, it'll really be as if they've been asleep all the time, unprepared for Christ's return. Let's get going. Time is short. What are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for Christ to come back and bring righteousness and deliver all of us who believe in him to eternal glory. It's a magnificent thing to look forward to say the least.
With that said, a few thoughts on the verse, and if time permits, a brief thought on the hymn of the day.
Sure. The verse is just that one verse that is expressed as a summary of all these things. It comes to us from Revelation 22. Alleluia, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alleluia. It's hard to imagine a better way to end the church year than with Christ Jesus. The beginning, the end, the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega. And we might even add the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one around whom all these things revolve. He's the one that calls the end when he appears, but he's also the one who prepares us for that last day by being the author, the perfecter of our faith. And he is the one with whom we will be for all eternity.
Then with only about 30 seconds, the hymn of the day thoughts.
magnificent hymn that pictures so well the end of the world. Anyone would like to prepare for Sunday morning by reading hymn number 336 in Lutheran Service Book, we'll see a great picturing of Christ's return in a wonderful way. I'd especially call attention to the third stanza, where it talks about those tokens of Jesus' passion and how when he returns, we will gaze upon those glorious scars, the wounds in his hands, his feet, his side, where his blood was shed, the blood that gives us eternal life. And then stanza four, yea, amen, let all adore thee. We're looking forward to what? What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Christ to return to show us those scars, to bring us into eternal life in heaven. And what are we waiting for? Amen. Let us all adore him with every day that we have left.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Todd.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, etc., Dr. Kim Riddleberger is going to join us. He's from the White Horse, and he's written recently about a brief history of heresies, going through some of the major, what we'll call Christological heresies, those heresies of the early church that had to do with the person and work of Jesus Christ. We'll walk through some of those heresies with him. And then, in the last 15 minutes or so, we'll hear about how the new tolerance on campus actually works out. If your politics are on, Dr. Robert Oscar Lopez will bring us his story in the last few minutes of Issues, Etc. Hour 2 is next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.